Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
It's going to be a little quicker today, so we're going to have to skip some slides, so just so you're on it. All right, because we don't have a lot of time. So this morning, we are continuing our series on a life worth living and possessing an attitude that makes our life worth living. And so the first week we went through confidence, the second week we talked about humility, and this week we're going to talk about contentment and the idea of contentment and what that looks like in our lives. See, I want this talk this morning that we go through today, I want this to sort of, you know, spark a conversation inside of you internally. And that conversation, I want it to look like this. Am I content in my life with what I have? Am I content with what I've been given in my life? And I want us to have a conversation about this internally. After we're done here, I want you to go back and think, am I content? Am I good with what God has given me this morning? And so we're going to start here. Contentment is defined this way, and Travis already has it up to man. He's on a roll. Satisfied with what one is or has, not wanting more or anything else. That is the biblical, that is the Yeah, man. I almost went all heretical right there, man. Woo! Caught that one. Holy Spirit, thank you. So, contentment in the worldly version, I would say the dictionary version would be that. That is not what contentment is from a biblical standpoint, and we will learn a little bit more about that. So, we're going to start in Philippians this morning, Philippians 4, verse 10 and 13. And in this passage, there is a secret that Paul talks about being content. There is a secret to being content and satisfied. So we're going to look a little bit into what that secret is, what contentment is, according to Paul, and what the secret is to finding it this morning. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, 13, get out your Bibles, get out your phones, get out your tablets, whatever you got, get it out, get to this passage. And here it is. For I can do every, nope, sorry, go to 10. That's the end, man. There we go. I'll do it. There it is. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. It actually is before that, but that's okay. I know how to live in almost nothing or with everything, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So that's our passage this morning. So the first thing I want you guys to understand about Philippians is this, that Paul wrote Philippians when he was in jail, when he was in prison. And we know that because back in chapter, I think it was 1, he rejoices in the fact of being in prison. He rejoices in the fact of being in prison. Why? Because it gave him an opportunity to share Jesus with his captors. Think about that for a minute, okay? Guy was in prison, and he says to himself, you know what? Jesus, I am glad you put me here. Why? Because I get to share who you are with people who would not know you. So every event is an opportunity for us, no matter what it is. So he first starts off by saying that. Then he goes on to say, you know, I am really thankful, Philippian church. I am thankful that you have revived your concern for me. See, he had a really great relationship with the Philippian church. And the Philippian church really sowed into his ministry financially. And he's in prison, and they send him a guy called Epaphroditus. And this guy, Epaphroditus, comes bearing gifts and financial gift and other things. He's not really clear about what he's been given, but there is something that what he was given to him from the Philippian church through Epaphroditus, and he starts to give thanks for that in chapter 2. And in chapter 4, he talks about how, you know, he was so grateful for the Philippian church to basically bless him, because not only did they bless him when he was in prison, but before when he had planted the church, when he left, they gave him money when he left to keep going. And then when he was in Thessalonica, they gave him more money. So Paul's relationship with the Philippian church is a long one, and it's one that's marked by spiritual and financial blessing over his life. So he lays that out and he says, thanks a lot. I appreciate the fact that you've done all these things for me. But in the next verse, he needed to make one thing clear to them, and that was verse 11. Verse 11. He said this. He said, even though in the light of what you've given me and in our relationship together, he wanted to make one thing clear, and that was this, that none of these things that he was given by them, given to him by them, was essential for his contentment. Nothing he had, nothing he was given, was essential for the attitude of contentment in his life. And he needed to make that clear to the Philippians. In verse 11, he says this, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. And the word contentment here that he uses in the Greek is this word autarkis. It's Greek, so I can't say it. It's really hard. It's not English. But that's the word, autarkis. That's how it's pronounced. And basically what that word means is sufficient for oneself, strong enough, or processing enough need to have no aid or support. And this word is actually made up of two words. Follow me here. The first word is autos, not automobile, but autos. And that word means himself, herself, or themselves. And the second word is archaeo, which means to be produced or to possess unfailing strength. So basically, Paul is using a word and saying to the Philippians, he's saying, listen, contentment comes through strength in yourself. Now you may think to yourself, we're talking about Paul here. Why would Paul ever tell the people in the Philippian church that you can have a sense of contentment by drawing on unfailing strength you find in yourself? Doesn't that seem weird? I think it seems weird. But we'll get back to that. So basically what he's saying is you need to learn to be content this morning. He said, I have learned to be content in everything. I have learned to be content in everything. And the word learned here is the word manthano. I can say that one a little bit better. Manthano, but that's a Greek word as well. And it means this, to increase one's knowledge or to learn by use or practice. So what he's saying here is you need to learn to be content. Contentment is not something that you just get when you start to follow Jesus. Contentment is not something that you just have because now you've put your faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Paul said, you have to learn contentment. I have learned contentment. So if you're sitting here this morning going, man, my life doesn't look very content right now. Man, I'm not happy with this, and I'm not happy with that, and I need to pursue that, and I need to pursue this, and man, there's just so much in my life that I want to change. I want to say to you this morning, encourage you that don't worry about it. If you feel like that's where you are right now, it's okay. I'll tell you why. Because contentment is learned. Contentment is learned. It's not something that we just have. It's learned. You might ask yourself, well, how do we learn it? Well, we learn it through experience and through life. We learn it through experience and through life. That is how we can come to a place of possessing an attitude of contentment in all things like Paul does when he's in prison. We learn it through life, through experiences. Why do I say that? Because that's how Paul says we do it. In verse 12, bring up verse 12, he says this, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a little or with a lot, whether my stomach is empty or full. He said, basically, I've learned a secret. And he talks about life experiences. Life experiences are made up of those situations, right? We go through situations where, man, we got a lot. And it's great. And we go through times, man, where we got nothing. And I'll tell you, that really stinks. We go through a time when our bellies are full, metaphorically, and when they're empty. We go through times of abundance, and we go through times, man, where there's nothing there. There's no rain coming down. There's no fruit being, manifest in our life. So Paul says, I have learned the secret of living. Now, he's basically restating what he said in verse 11. He's basically saying, hey, I know how to live with a little or a lot. Doesn't matter what it is, I'm content in all things. That's what he's saying. But he doesn't use the word content here. That word, autarkis, he doesn't use that. He uses the word secret. He says, I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a little or a lot, stomach empty, stomach full, doesn't matter. So what he's saying here is in this verse is that, okay, the idea of contentment is a secret that needs to be revealed to you. I have been revealed a secret about the attitude of contentment. I can live in contentment in all things, but guess what? It lies in the secret that is revealed to us through what? Our life experiences. He's saying basically, if I don't struggle, if I don't have everything I need when I need it, that is the only way that God will reveal to me the secret that I need to know to live a life full of, to be content. That's what he's saying in this passage. Because a secret is something, right, that we don't know. A secret is something that has not been revealed to us up until the point that it's revealed, right? So if you're standing in a room full of people, and someone comes up to you and tells you something but doesn't tell anyone else, what are they doing? They're telling you a secret. They're giving you something. They're revealing something to you that no one else in the room knows. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, I know the secret. I know the secret of being content. Living in every situation, whether I have a little or a lot, I've learned the secret of being content. He doesn't use the word autarkis anymore. He uses that word secret. See, there's something being revealed to us through our experiences and through our sufferings that would not be revealed to us if we didn't go through them. That's what he's saying. If you want to form an attitude of contentment in your life, you need to go through trials. You need to go through suffering. And I know that's a hard thing to say, man, because it's like, suffering, it's like, who wants to go through suffering? Is God responsible for that? No, but when it happens, we need to embrace it. Why? Because something is going to be revealed to us. A secret will be revealed to us about how to possess an attitude of contentment. And that is why Paul says this. So now, in 2 Corinthians, this is what he says. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Look at that. He said, because of my weakness, the power of Christ can work through me. See, it is only when we go through trials we become exposed to our weakness. And in that weakness, our strength leaves. And guess what strength comes in? The power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Weakness and trial and suffering put us in a perfect position for Jesus to supplant our own strength with his this morning. How do I know that? Because Paul says it right after that. It's really simple. I know it was hard for me to figure this out. I was just saying this like with Mario this week. I'm like, I was going through this and I'm like, I don't get this. I don't understand the flow here. What's the flow, Paul? You're trying to communicate. I don't know. And we worked through it. And I went in a totally different direction. I'm like, no, that's not right. We talked about it and I was just like, boom, this is it. This is it right here. See, in verse 12, Paul says this, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So what he's saying here is that we can do everything. What can we do through Christ who gives us strength? Everything. What can we do?
Everything.
Everything. So you're looking at this saying, okay, wait a minute. We just talked about Paul in verse 11 saying contentment comes through the strength of oneself, right? The word autarkis, self-sufficient strength. You're saying, wait a minute. Well, he just said that. Well, how can he be saying this and that at the same time? How can we draw on our own strength yet understand the revelation that the only way we get through stuff is through the strength of Jesus? Well, what was going on here is that Paul was using a word that a lot of Stoic philosophers and a lot of thinkers in his time were using. It was a very popular phrase. And they were espousing this idea that they could, in a sense, come to this place of contentment on their own. That they could come to this place of contentment through their self, through the strength of themselves. And now, Paul is flipping the table and saying, you know what? That is what is being espoused to you. That is what is being basically taught to you. But this is what I am telling you. I know the secret. I know the secret of being content this morning. And it's not through yourself, as other people might be teaching you in the culture. I know the secret of being content. What is the secret of being content? It's drawing on the strength of Jesus living in us through our trials and sufferings and through our good times and bad. That's what he's saying this morning. See, our attitude of contentment is not drawn from our circumstances of having a little or plenty. It is drawn from the strength of the risen Son of God and the Spirit that lives inside of us. That is where we draw it from. And the strength is realized in the process of not having anything. That's what Paul said. He said, you know, you're never going to realize that you can not draw on your own strength for self-sufficiency if you don't go through trial and suffering. If you constantly try to avoid trial and suffering and hard times, if you constantly try to avoid it, you will never grow. You will never be content. It's so weird. It's so weird because the kingdom works so differently. You think to yourself, Lord, if I have everything I need, every want, every need supplied for by you, when I want it, that would bring me contentment, right? But Paul's saying it's exactly the opposite. See, when we're not provided for, when we're left in a sense of suffering and struggle, it's okay. Because guess what? The secret of contentment is being revealed to you. The strength that you draw on in those times will not be your own. It'll be his. And in that revelation, contentment will come. So let me ask you a question this morning. Why don't we get everything when we want? When we want it. Why don't we get everything? Well, yeah, why don't we get everything we want? Why don't we get everything we need when we need it? I think we can all assume and we can all agree that God will provide everything we need. Correct? That's what Scripture says. Paul in 2 Corinthians says this: God will generously provide all you need, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left to share with others. Now, he's talking about this in the sense of giving. He said, don't worry about how much you give. Don't worry about how much you give, because God will always provide for you generously. Don't worry about it. So God will generously provide all of our needs, but God will provide all of our needs, not when we need it or not when we think we need it. God will provide every single one of our needs when he knows we need it. There's a difference. You know, I'll give you an example really quick. So, my daughter Gracie, right? When she goes to bed at night, she literally every night needs a glass of water. Like, I don't know if you guys like had the same experience, but it's like literally, I don't even know why we started doing this. It's like we created this like habit, and I'm just like, why did we ever do this? Literally every night, she will need a glass of water or a cup of water or a sippy cup or whatever to have with her before she goes to bed. She will not go to bed unless either she has it in her hand or it's right by her crib. So what happens is we get to the process of getting her in the bed. Right? And she's like, and we're like doing our thing, and she's like, every night if she doesn't have the water, I need water. She literally will yell it out. I'm thirsty. I need water, Daddy. And I'm like, Gracie, hold on, hold on. Let's do this first. We'll pray together. We sing a song together. I always sing in tune and key and harmony. It's awesome, man. It's like, you know. But I say to her, Gracie, hold on. You don't need water right now. You're fine. So we go through the whole thing, and then I go downstairs and I get her some water. My point is this. That's right. My point is this. She, in that moment in time, recognizes a need that she has that she feels she needs in that moment of time. And I am God, and I say to her, Gracie, you're okay. You're okay. You'll be fine. Hold on. It's going to be all right. You'll get your water. Jeez. But my point is this, is that God doesn't provide every need that we have when we feel we need it. God provides every need that we have when he knows we need it. You know? Because sometimes we automatically think that when we identify a need in our life, that we have the God that will constantly and automatically swoop in and take care of it as soon as we recognize it. And I think that can leave us a little bit confused and distraught because, yes, God is intending to meet my need, but not on my timetable, not when I feel like I need it. There is something bigger in mind that he has for me, and he's going to wait until his timing to provide for my need. All right. He wants us to be uncomfortable. He does. And I know that may sound weird, but God wants us to be uncomfortable, okay? Suffering and trial and going through things in our life is not comfortable. Does anyone love their car breaking down? No. Yeah, you get an excuse to miss work. Only Bradley, you would do that. Sorry, boss, can't come in today. Car broken down. Can't find a ride. Other than Brad, who likes a car now breaking down? Nobody. All right. Brad's the only one. But the point is this. God wants us to be uncomfortable sometimes. It's okay to be in a place where it's like, what's going on? This stinks. If you think about this really quick, I'll give you another visualization really quick. So we're in Maine, right? Obviously, yeah. It's very nice out. It's beautiful. We're in the state of Maine, and we're really familiar with a lot of things that are associated with the state of Maine. And one of the things associated with the state of Maine is lobsters, right? Who likes lobsters here? All right. I don't know what's wrong with you guys, but that's okay. So I can't stand lobsters, but that's besides the point. They're like bottom feeders, man. They just eat the bleh off the bottom of the ocean floor. Why would we ever want to eat that? Anyway, I'll take scallops any day. Anyway, so a lobster sheds its shell. You guys know that, right? A lobster sheds its shell. And it sheds its shell many times over a lifetime. And you want to know what causes the shell to be shed? Uncomfortableness. Pressure. See, the lobster's body is this sort of soft body that grows in its shell. And then when it gets too big for the shell, it goes into this place and sheds, it protects itself, sheds the shell, and then appears with a new shell. And for a couple of weeks, it's very vulnerable. But, I mean, the point is that uncomfortableness is the stimulus for the growth. So God wants us to be uncomfortable because in that, we will grow. Suffering and trial and difficulty is hard. But guess what? There's a revelation in it. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, through all the things that I've done, through having a lot and having a little, through an empty stomach and a full stomach, I've learned to be content. Why? Because what has been revealed to me in that is the strength of Christ in me and not my own. That is the point of this passage. We can look at others and think to ourselves, Gosh, I wish I had what they had. Gosh, I wish I had that job. Gosh, I wish I had that whatever, that relationship, that ministry, that gifting. There's so many things that we can look to others and say, man, I wish my life was like that. Or man, I wish I had that. And we can live a life constantly chasing after contentment in our own strength. But Paul says, don't think this way. This is not the way you should look at your life. I know there are people in this room personally right now that are going through some really tough stuff, some really difficult things, and probably undeserving, and I would say undeserving, absolutely. And I would say to you this, if you're going through something that is really tough right now, that is a struggle, where you don't know what's on the other side, I want to exhort you this morning to hold on. Because guess what? It is through this period in your life right now where God is going to reveal the strength of Jesus he has put in you through the Holy Spirit. Trial and suffering and hardship, it is all for the purpose of the glory of Jesus' strength in us. Amen. That's what Paul says. So I'm telling you right now, if you're going through something, hold on, because a secret will be revealed to you about the power of Jesus in your life. Paul had every reason to be, he had every reason to, you know, possess an attitude of discontentment, but guess what? He didn't. Paul led a life for God, for Jesus, planting churches, making disciples, expanding the kingdom of God on the earth, and what did he get for it? He got a life of struggle. He got a life of imprisonment. He got a life of abandonment by people. He had every reason to say, you know what? Forget this. I'm done. I'll go back to being a Pharisee where I can just talk about, you know, the law, God's law, and hammer it over people. He could have done that, but he didn't. He chose through his trial and through his suffering to let the strength of Jesus supplant his own strength and be content in whatever came down the path. See, I'm going to end with this. Discontentment is a distraction from the enemy. Okay? And that leads to displacement. It displaces Jesus' attitude in our life with our own. It displaces his strength in our life with our own. So distraction is something that is birthed out of discontentment from the enemy. If we are not willing to be content in all things by drawing on his strength through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will spend a life running around in circles, trying to feed our contentment and do nothing of importance for the kingdom. Paul was distracted for a very long time from his calling. He was discontent for a very long time, constantly persecuting the church, constantly rounding them up and throwing him into prison, until one day Jesus broke into his life and said, you know what? You're done with that. I will bring you into a life of contentment because you will be drawing on my strength and my strength alone. And that's what he said. His mind was completely transformed. And he was transferred into a life of complete contentment from a life of utter unfulfillment and spiritual bankruptcy. That's Paul's life. So if you only take one thing out of this message this morning, I want you guys to remember this, okay? Jesus and his strength is always sufficient for us in our time of plenty and in our time of want. In both places, his strength is sufficient this morning for you, regardless of what your life looks like. And an attitude of contentment comes, and comes only by drawing on the strength of Jesus, which is revealed to us in times of plenty and in want. And Jesus will always call us to a life that will, in the end, leave us fulfilled and content. Remember that. Jesus will always call us to a life that will, in the end, leave us fulfilled and content. So if we're pursuing things that make us discontent and unfulfilled, chances are it's not a call for you that God has given you. Remember that. If you are chasing things that in the end leave you unfulfilled, you need to understand that those are probably things from your strength. The strength of Jesus will always call you to a life of fulfillment and contentment. So that's it. So I'm going to have everyone stand. And if you're released to pray for people this morning, I'd like to have you guys come up. I really want to pray for you guys.